We appreciate the goodness of God in our lives. We are in part five of a sermon series entitled Sweet Hour of Prayer. And I selected that theme because for many, prayer really doesn't have any sweetness about it. In fact, people find it very difficult in their lives to be consistent in their communion through prayer with God. Growing up and going to church and being in ministry for 30 plus years now, going to prayer meetings, sometimes it's like it's you and five or six other people because there's just not a lot of excitement about prayer. But when you begin to grasp the sweetness of the communion and relationship with God through prayer, everything begins to change. The one thing that I wanted to come out of this series as we continue till the end of August was for people to really see that prayer is not a formula. That's important to me for us to see, because that's so, you know, just static. It's so passionless. It's so routine and mundane. If I do A, God will do B. He's obligated to do B because I did A. And that is just not the way God works. Although we see again and again beautiful spiritual principles about prayer in both Old Testament and New Testament, and we harmonize them together to see how do I want my prayers to be offered to God. So we saw in part one of Sweet Hour of Prayer the fact of Psalm 32 and David, King David, who is known as what? The man after God's own heart, had a season in his life where he stopped praying. And I'm sure if we all look at our own lives, we might say, there's been seasons in my life where I've really neglected prayer. Well, David had a season, and he had a reason for neglecting his communion through prayer with God, and that was David was deep in sin. And you know, when you are living a life of sin and straying from God, the last thing you really want to do is have a close conversation with God. And David tells us in Psalm 32 that there's where he was for a season of his life, but God didn't give up on him. Oh, isn't that a sweet truth? God didn't give up on him because he was sinful. God put his hand on him. And it said it was a heavy hand. And it is to indicate that God was putting the pressure and the squeeze on David, which ultimately David said, oh, you've got my attention. And what does he do? He acknowledges and he confesses his sin to God. And God forgives him the guilt of his sin and restores and refreshes his soul. The reality is, my brothers and sisters, as believers in Christ, cleansed by his blood and given the position of child of God, there is in our lives the walk of sanctification, where we are constantly surrendered before God in varying degrees. But we all need in our lives the confession of our sin, the acknowledgement of our wrongdoing before our God, and there is the spiritual principle. When those things take place, there is refreshment for one's soul. And then number two, as Mike Bumas talked to us in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, you saw that Paul urged Christians, the Christian community, especially the Thessalonican church, pray and don't stop praying. In other words, just make your prayer life a ceaseless prayer as you walk before your God. David stopped praying. Paul urges never stop praying, but pray all the time. Now that doesn't mean that you always have a prayer rolling off your lips. It means that you are always in your mind, spirit, and heart aware of God's presence, and you are continually looking to Him, relying on Him, and depending on Him. In part 3, the prayer of Jesus, we saw that Jesus prayed for Himself. He prayed for those disciples that God had given Him, and then He prays for future disciples. And the prayer for the disciples that were with Jesus, and the prayer for future disciples, which includes us and those in the future, was that God would keep His children, that He would keep them in His hand, that He would keep them in peace, that He would keep them in salvation, that He would keep them in hope, that He would keep them in joy, that He would keep them in the Word, that He would keep them protected, that He would sustain His people. Isn't that a sweet prayer from the lips of Jesus for you and I? To know that my Lord, your Lord, had that in His mind so long ago on our behalf. Keep them, Lord. Because no one can take you out of the hand of God. And then last week, part 4 in Jonah, we looked at chapter 2. And we saw while Jonah was disobedient, he prayed to God for help. And we saw that one prayer at the right moment with the right heart can change everything. And if any of the sermons reveal that prayer is not a formula, it's Jonah. Disobedient Jonah fleeing the presence of God. And yet, when he cried in his dilemma for help, God heard him, answered him, and rescued him. That is the sweet hour of prayer that God has for you. Whether your heart is heavy or whether your heart is joyful, whether you are in distress or you are riding the wave of happiness, prayer is a sweet moment. It is a gift from God. It is His spiritual weapon to restore and refresh the soul of His people. Let the people of God pray without ceasing, because it is in those prayers that God calms and soothes our hearts. And so today, I want to look at another man who prayed. And this is probably one of the most unusual prayers, not because of what is said, but because of where it's found. We're going to talk about the prayer of Jabez, or Hebrew Jabez. Now, many of you know that my son, we named him Jabez. We named him that before the Bruce Wilkinson book ever came out. Dee's mother had a friend that was named Jabez. And while Dee and I were dating, we were visiting the gravesite of her father, and as we was walking through this little cemetery in Flora, Illinois, we saw this tombstone of Jabez. We thought, boy, that would be a fantastic name. I still remember calling and telling Mom and Dad over the phone as we lived in Nashville, Tennessee, we have a boy, and their first question is, what's his name? And then I said, Jabez. And they like, what? How do you say it? And being from the South, Tim and Rachel will know this, like Eagleville, Tennessee, we told the church, here's our son Jabez, and they would pronounce it Jabez or gibbets or Jarvis, or it's like just a lot of heartache in the name itself. But we're going to talk about the prayer of Jabez. Now, what is interesting about this prayer, and what is unusual, as I said, is the location. You open your Bibles to 1 Chronicles, and you look through the first 9 chapters. You just sort of turn chapter 1, chapter 2, go all the way through 9, and it is an endless reading of genealogies, starting with Noah and his sons, and winding up to King Saul. But it's just like 9 chapters, 18 pages of nothing but genealogies. And I tell you, the one thing that I get most bored about is genealogies. It's like you look at that, like, there is no way I'm going to do all that begatting today. That don't speak to me. Amen? But that's what you have. And unless you read it closely, you would never discover that in the midst of 18 pages of genealogies, there's a one tiny verse prayer. And it's the prayer of Jabez. And you have to ask yourself and just speculate, because that's all you can do, why is this one tiny one verse prayer buried, hidden, inserted in the midst of all these genealogies? And the answer is we probably will never know. But we can speculate. Did a scribe insert it? Did it just come to his mind? And oh, before I forget, I need to say this about Jabez. Or was it something like, I'm going to put this here because when people read this one day, they're going to see all these genealogies and they're going to see this one little tiny short verse prayer, and they're going to realize this prayer is important. Oh, there's a lot of different reasons we can speculate. We may never know. I tend to fall on God has a purpose and a plan for everything that he does. And I just am convicted that this prayer is there in this unique setting because God wanted it to stand out. So we open up not with the prayer, but one line of verse that gives us one insight about Jabez. It says, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. Well, I was there for the delivery of our 2 children. And I get what's being said here, and most of you guys do too. It's like, I would never want to be a woman. I would never want to give birth. If I was a woman, I would believe in absolute celibacy because this is not going to happen. I'm not going to go through this for anybody. But we understand that when the mother of Jabez gave birth to him, there was pain, but it does seem to imply that there was more pain than usual. So she gives him a name that means he causes pain or sorrowful. They're interchangeable. He causes pain or sorrowful. How would you like your name to mean something like that? My name is Jabez. I cause pain. It's nice to meet you. What's your name? What's your name mean? Most of us don't know what our name means because that's not important to our culture. We just like the way a name sounds. That's why we named the middle name for Jabez, Esley. We really did him some damage. But the Hebrew Jewish culture valued and carefully selected a name because names would tell of the future outcome, or names would represent some characteristic or quality of God. And Jabez represents he causes pain, or the idea of sorrow. and that was his name. And many would believe that was his destiny. But before we go any further, that opening line, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. In 1 Chronicles 2:55, we learn that there's a town near Bethlehem called the town of Jabez. We don't know if it was a town that was named after the man Jabez or not, but that's a mention of a town named Jabez. But this idea that he was more honorable, when you look at all these genealogies and before the prayer is introduced, all you hear is Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, is significant because there is a separation between him and his brothers. Someone has once said that most people are all alike. There is little difference, but the little difference can make a big difference. And that is the case here. The little difference between Jabez and his brothers was that he was more honorable. And the idea of honorable in the Bible is a person's heart and mind looks to Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The same is said in regards to Job in chapter 1. There is no one like Job. Job is honorable. Job seeks the face of God. And you see this about Jabez. He was honorable. And so the spiritual essence of one being honorable reflects the heart of one who looks to God. That's what's going on here. So Jabez looked to God. Jabez understood what his name meant. And because of his prayer, he probably thought, this is my destiny because of my name. And I don't want that. So the prayer, the simple, beautiful prayer, opens up with what I would say are three very important words. Jabez cried out. You know, I don't know if you think there's a difference between just praying to God and crying out to God, but in, I think, most of our experiences, we pray to God, Lord, bless this food. We thank you for this food. Lord, I'm praying to you to ask you to be with me, to go before me, open doors, close doors, those kinds of things. Lord, thank you for this and thank you for that. That's prayer. Jesus prayed as we looked the prayer of Jesus. But you know, when Jesus was on the cross, it says he cried out. Here, it opens up by saying, Jabez cried out. And then the particle, oh. You know, whenever you place oh before a word, oh my goodness, or oh wow, if there's a little bit of intensity, there's a little bit of emotion, there's some spirit in it. Jabez cried out. Well, why is he crying out? Because I believe personally, when you cry out to God, you're in trouble and you're in distress, or you want something so badly. So you know what I mean. When you look back at your prayer life, you see, although they're both important and they're both biblical, there are prayers that we say to God, and then there's times that we cry out to God. And there's been three times in my life where I cried out to God. Most of the other time, it was just prayer. Jabez cried out to God. His name speaks volumes. He's in pain. He's sorrowful. So he cried out to God. We all need to cry out to God from time to time. You know, in Bruce Wilkinson's book, which I've read so many times, I could probably just almost quote it. I read it again, and I thought to myself, and I mean this humbly, you know, so much of this book I disagree with. We are just so determined that we've got to do something before God can act. We just really are that way. But he says one thing that I absolutely love. He says, you know, when we ask for God's blessing in our lives, we're not asking for something that we can go get more of for ourselves. When we ask for God's blessing, we're asking him to do something that we're powerless and incapable of doing. And that's okay, because Jabez was crying out. There was passion and there was heartfelt sincerity in what he was going to ask. Oh, that you would bless me. Now, Jabez, I don't think, was being selfish. He wasn't being self-centered. He was just like the typical person that loved the Lord and was utterly dependent that God himself was the source of every blessing. And so in that dependence, he cries out to the God that he sees is the only one that can help him, the only one that can bring about what he hopes and desires for his life. We try to do things that we think will bring about the outcome that we want, and sometimes it works. Most of the time it doesn't work, and we go through life, a lot of people, and we just like, you know, I'm just going to do this, and I'll expect that, and when it doesn't happen, it's like, what is going on? We need to be like Jabez and pray in that same kind of spirit, and when we cry out, it is for the things that we know we can't achieve for ourselves. And that's what is unique to me and special about the prayer of Jabez. What kind of prayers really do come out of your heart and your mouth? Are they passionless prayers? Are they prayers just offered because it's the right thing to do? I'm supposed to pray, so I'll do it. God wants passion in your spirit when you talk to him. I believe when Jesus was praying, John 17, although it doesn't say he cried out, there was passion in what he was asking for. But I also believe when he was on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Lord, there was passion in that. Jesus was passionate in his prayers because he was talking to the God who could change everything. And I promise you, as I'm beginning to learn myself, the more passionate you are about the words you say, the sweeter prayer will come to be in your life. Oh, that you would bless me. Church, do you really see God as the source of every good blessing? Because we should. Because every good and perfect gift that we have in life, according to James, comes from the hand of God. If you've got the ability to make it, to earn it, to do it. It's not because you're special. It's because God has given you those abilities. And the God who gives those abilities can take them away if that is His desire. So we look to God as the source and we seek His blessing. And enlarge my territory. You know, many of the scholars, if not most all of them, don't see this as give me more land to make me wealthy. And you might not necessarily rule that out, but Lord, make opportunities for me. Expand my opportunities. Expand my ministry. Expand my service to You. I do think that's what it means, but I can't pound the pulpit on that one. But it just seems to be, that's the essence. Bless me, oh Lord, expand my opportunity and effectiveness, which will bless my life, but it will be a service to You. Most of the time, our prayers are all about us. In fact, the New Testament talks about some people don't have because they just don't ask. And others don't have because when they ask with wrong motives so that they can spend whatever they get on themselves. And so we see a spiritual principle there that God doesn't want our prayer just to be all about us and what we can go do and have fun with. Now, God wants us to enjoy life, and God wants to bless us with material possessions. But the heart isn't to be selfish in prayer. And one of the points that Bruce Wilkinson makes is, what if God just wants you to have that time where you can be all about yourself, and a little selfish is His word with prayer? That just hits me wrong. God wants to bless you and has blessed you in Christ and wants you to use those spiritual blessings and temporal blessings in your opportunity to be effective in His kingdom. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 1 that every spiritual blessing is given to children of God. Every spiritual blessing. Spiritual blessings, you know, are so broad. It could be good friendship, a happy and joyful heart, the job that you love, peace. I mean, it just goes on and on. Forgiveness, salvation. But every spiritual blessing in the new covenant, because of Jesus, is yours if you're His. But we don't act like that's the truth. We need to act like that is the truth because it is the truth. Enlarge my territory. Let Your hand be with me. Throughout the Old Testament, you see different people saying God's gracious hand was with me. Can you imagine anything more comforting to a Christian than knowing that God's hand is with you? His presence is right there. His presence is in us through the Holy Spirit, right? He's always with us. But the prayer of, Lord, let Your hand be with me. I want You to go before me, to go behind me, to surround me in all that I do. I don't want to go face any situation or there to be any occasion that Your hand is not with me. My little 2.5-year-old grandson, Luke. We love him. I've nicknamed him Trouble because he's sweet, but he's trouble. And when you're in parking lots, you know, you always, you want to hold your kids' hands because cars are zipping in and zipping out. And, you know, for the first little bit, you know, he loved holding my finger or Dee's hand and just would walk with us and we could sort of protect him. But it seems like the older they get, they want to throw off that hand and just, they don't realize the danger and they just run and they just go and anything could happen. In your passion for prayer, give thanks that God has given you every spiritual blessing. And because you have every spiritual blessing doesn't mean I'm not going to pray for it. Give thanks, give acknowledgement, and continue to pray, Lord, oh, bless me and increase my effectiveness for you. And Lord, let your hand be with me. I want your hand upon me. In fact, in Matthew chapter 5, in the Beatitudes, when it says, blessed, 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 it is a picture of God's hand of favor on his people. Nothing that meant more to me when my dad was alive, when he would just come around me and put his arm around me. There was a closeness. There was a love. There was a peace, a joy, and a sweetness. Let your hand be with me. Have you prayed the prayer, Lord, bless me? But not in the vein of, oh, Lord, bless me and let me win the lottery. Oh, Lord, bless me and let me win this car. Oh, Lord, bless me and let me win the sweepstake house and the new car and the $100,000. Oh, Lord, if you bless me this way, what I'll do for you. But Lord, bless me because I love you. I want to use my blessings to bless others in your kingdom. And I know for that to happen, your hand's got to be with me. Because if your hand's not with me, it's not going to happen because you're the source of every blessing. Oh, Lord, can you keep me from harm? My name means pain. I don't want to be in pain. I don't want to cause other pain. In fact, the New King James Version translates this, and keep me from causing others pain. I think that's a jump. But, Lord, I don't want to go through life in pain. I don't want to be harmed. I want the angel of the Lord to encamp around me and keep me safe. There's nothing wrong with praying this kind of blessing in your life. Lord, keep me safe. Keep me from harm. Protect me from the evil one, Satan, but protect me from his children as well. The number of times that I've been down on my knees before one of my kids were getting ready to take off or move out or be gone or go to school or a long road trip just to get down there and pray before that door, Lord, I love them, but they're trouble. And I need you to protect them. And I need you to open their eyes to you. And I need them to want you and desire you. Please let the car last. Keep the tires inflated. Protect them, Lord. Jabez prayed, keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. Oh, we know in this world, Jesus says, you're going to have trouble. And we're all going to experience pain. At least most of us will. But this is a beautiful thought, Lord. Just keep me from harm. Just guide my steps. Last Friday evening, Ashley asked, Dad, would you help me and Jonathan move this upright piano that's like 130 years old. Oh yeah, we can do that. I went to do this on it just to sort of get a feel for it. Like, you know. It was like, oh my gosh, that's the heaviest thing I've ever felt in my life. But some of the other help was running late. Actually, about 30 minutes late. And Ashley's all like, we got to get there. We got to get this, you know. And I just like, hey, maybe God has delayed us for his reason. Just maybe, I don't know. If we would have went on your time, something would have happened. Let's just get in the flow and go with God and trust him. So we're 30 minutes late. It's going to take 3 hours anyway. Oh, Lord. Protect your people. And the last line, not even of the prayer, just the sign off by the chronicler. God granted his request. How does that make you feel? That makes me feel happy and just good inside. Like, you can pray this and the creator of the universe hears it and answers it. It's, to me, though, still almost like a blank sheet of paper. And I know there's some specific requests, but they're sort of generally specific. Like, what a life that you could just go out and say, God, I'm your man. I'm your woman. Here I am before you. Just bless me, and you open the doors, and I'll walk through them and give you praise. But, you know, I'd like to not have harm, and I'd like to be a blessing to others and be effective for you. But, Lord, just a blank slate. You write my destiny. You change my life. My mother said he causes sorrow. I don't want that in my life. I want you to change it. And only God can change those things. And that's why we pray for his blessing. A couple last thoughts. It's not the length of a prayer that makes it pleasing to God, but the sincere passion and the urgent dependence on which it is spoken to him. Do you see that? Now, to me, this is really the big picture of the prayer of Jabez and how it will be a spiritual principle for us. You can pray short prayers or you can pray long prayers. That doesn't make them pleasing to God. But the heart in which they are prayed, that is what makes it pleasing to God. Jesus said, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Oh, through my 33 years of ministry, I've had some heart issues with certain people that just are praying to hear themselves pray. You're circled up. They're squeezing your hand. Your heart starts to beat in your hand. You're sweating, and they just go on and on and on, and it's just perfunctory. It's got nothing to do with passion. Oh, Lord, help my ingrown toenail. Oh, Lord, help the... It's not the length of a prayer, whether it's brief or long. It is, oh God, it is a cry from your heart. It is the right spirit in honoring your God. And this here, the most important thing about the prayer is the spirit in which Jabez prayed it to God. Make sense, church? Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for this little obscure prayer located in the midst of such an unlikely place. But Lord, it does stand out. And we thank you for the uniqueness and what we can learn and gain from it. Lord, let us have this kind of heart for prayer. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Let's stand as Matt comes out.
All right, church, we wanted to close with a song that we sang earlier, just as the closing chorus to send you out.